Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
Though we are willing to negotiate with the government, members are of the view that the slow pace of the negotiation, as I told you, commenced somewhere in 2018, it leaves much to be desired.
The University Teachers Association of Ghana plans to launch an indefinite strike action beginning Monday.
The government had hinted at increasing taxes on these drinks, and we had come out to say that it will not be proper to do that.
The Nigeria Labour Congress, or NLC, says it sharply opposes plans by the government to increase taxes on non-alcoholic drinks.
But up to now, nothing has happened, and we are restarting with the demos on the 30th of January.
And in Malawi, organizers of recent nationwide demonstrations say they will resume the protests this week. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The University Teachers Association of Ghana, or UTAG, says members plan to launch an indefinite strike action beginning Monday. Professor Solomon Nunu, president of the University Teachers Group, says the decision to embark on the strike follows a nationwide executive meeting on Friday. The move is meant to pressure the government to improve the living conditions of teachers. University instructors say the government has failed to meet their demands despite repeated promises in negotiations over the last 3 years. But supporters of the government are questioning the timing of the strike. They say the administration is trying to jumpstart the economy battered by the COVID-19 pandemic, which they contend will enable the government to meet the demands of the university teachers. The strike, the supporters argue, is in bad faith since it complicates the administration's efforts to resolve the economic challenges facing the country. UTAG President Professor Solomon Nunu tells me that the university teachers will only return to the classrooms if the government meets their demands.
We held a meeting where the National Executive Committee of UTAG took a decision that we will embark on a strike action effective January 10th, 2022, that coming Monday. Basically, it's to decry the poor conditions of service of university teachers. Negotiations concerning the conditions of service of university teachers commenced somewhere in 2018, and we've been at the table since then. A number of items have been agreed upon, but recently one that has been topical has to do with the market premium of university teachers. For government to arrive at a considerate market premium for our members, they decided to conduct a labor market survey. A report for which was released yesterday. Unfortunately for us, the report doesn't seem to inure much to our benefit, even though it captures that university teachers, they form part of the critical essential services that require to be paid a market premium, or that government needs to look more towards. But now we look at the situation of implementation, which we don't see the end in sight. Members are of the view that it might take forever for us to arrive at a decision on this.
Well, some of your critics are saying that this is not the time to embark on a strike, particularly when the government is faced with a lot of economic challenges, especially including the coronavirus pandemic that has battered the economy. So you should have given the government a little bit of wiggle room to boost the economy before addressing some of your concerns. How do you address that?
Unfortunately, some of these things have to do with communication. And you'll recall that somewhere last year, government workers were only paid salary increment of 4%, but we did hear about government officials receiving salary increments ranging between 50 and 70% of their basic. So you'll see that though government officials seem to be increasing their own salaries, that is not the case when it comes to that of the public servant. We do agree that government is faced with a lot of responsibilities. And so one may ask that you need to give the person the government some breathing space. Yes, that may be a valid excuse, but that is not the same when you come to the living conditions of the university teacher, which has deteriorated over the years. Currently, we've seen a lot of the young ones resigning and moving, migrating back to some going to Europe and so on. So situations are worsening, and we believe that if the salaries are good, if you look at the 2012-2013 levels that were great, we saw an influx of workers moving in from various parts of the world to come back and then start working in Ghana. But the reverse is what is happening at the moment.
Well, some people are suggesting that your action to embark on strike basically is in bad faith of negotiations, because if you are negotiating with the government, it should be a give and take affair and not necessarily embark on an indefinite strike action to unnecessarily pressure the government, which has a lot of problems to deal with. Your response to that?
Here is the case that they are looking at market premium, which if you understand how market premiums operate, the government determines what it wants to pay to people, to the workers. At this point in time, university chairs also are of the view that not much has been done for us. It's out there that medical officers have had their market premiums adjusted, but when it comes to university chairs, that has not taken place. So, in fact, though we are willing to negotiate with the government, members are of the view that the slow pace of the negotiation, as I told you, commenced somewhere in 2018, it leaves much to be desired. So that is the unfortunate thing causing us to consider this action at this time.
Does that mean that despite embarking on this strike action, you will continue engaging the government?
Yes, we'll continue to engage the government until such a time that they have something that is good for our members. Because our members are worried about the pittance that is paid to them, and that is the reason why we have been forced or pushed the war to embark on this action.
Is there a timeline on this strike action?
For now, members have recommended an indefinite strike action, but we will need to engage with government, and then when the government gives something that is good enough, I believe we can easily call off the strike action.
Professor Solomon Nunu is the president of the University Teachers Association of Ghana. He spoke with me from the capital, Accra. The Nigerian Labour Congress, or NLC, says it sharply opposes plans by the government to increase taxes on carbonated and non-alcoholic drinks. The plan on locally manufactured beverages is contained in the budget recently signed by President Muhammadu Buhari. Officials say the plan to increase taxes forms part of the effort to generate revenue for this year's budget. It also helps the government, they say, to discourage the overconsumption of sugar and to help reduce obesity. But while questioning the timing of the tax increase, the NLC, a workers' group, says the administration's initiative is wrong, adding that it can't police the consumption choices of consumers. Chris Iyot is the Deputy General Secretary of the Nigeria Labour Congress, or NLC. He tells me that tax increases during the pandemic will force businesses to fold and sharply worsen unemployment.
The government had hinted at increasing taxes on these drinks, and we had come out to say that it will not be proper to do that, given the fact that the manufacturers are already having issues or groaning in the pains of not being able to produce as maximally, especially given the COVID-19 and all that. We already have pressure in terms of that negotiations for redundancy in some of these industries, and we felt that this was not the right time to increase those duties or subjects.
Does that mean that the Labour Congress is of the view that it will impose additional hardships on Nigerian citizens, for which reason you are rejecting this plan?
Yeah, because if you increase duties for the manufacturers of these soft drinks, what will happen next is that the manufacturers will increase their prices when they are selling the drinks, so the consumption cost will be high, and workers would have to pay for it. The next one is that manufacturers are likely to kind of decrease the production of those drinks. And invariably, you know, some are likely to even run out of capital and leave the country.
Are you saying that because of the taxes, manufacturers or businesses will lose their capital and by so doing, there will be job losses?
Yeah. Some of them might not be able to just continue doing what they are doing, and they might be just compelled to leave.
The government announced that the increased taxes is a way of discouraging overconsumption of sugar, checking obesity, and also generating more money to fund the 2022 budget. Why don't you think this is reasonable?
Well, I don't know where the government has become a doctor in Nigeria, talking about sugar and the rest of them. Don't we have more serious issues in Nigeria that they are supposed to tackle to talk about sugar consumption? Okay, why don't they put more details on sugar itself? And why should they be obsessed with the issue of funding and looking for money to fund the budget when there are other ways, they can fund the budget? We don't really, believe that increasing tax duties on these soft drinks is the best way for them to develop, funds which they want to use to fund their budget. We don't think so.
Some of your critics are saying that it appears Labour just opposes any government initiative for the sake of opposing, without even taking into cognizance the reasons behind government's actions, and that you just reject the plan out of hand before anything else, instead of engaging the government to find improved ways of raising funds to fund the budget. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think that is correct. In any case, the Manufacturing Association of Nigeria itself has kicked against it. You know, they have kicked against it, and they have given reasons why they have kicked against it. And that's employers of labor, which we should engage with. We know we are quite aware of the problems of the industry. Just as governments are aware, but have decided not to be that interested. There have been these wrong-headed policies that have been carried out that have sent some that's viable industries in Nigeria out of the country. An example is Dunlop. Dunlop and Chelin. The car industry, this is a wrong-headed kind of policy. So we are not opposing it for the sake of just opposing it. We are opposing it because we believe that is not the right this time, given the challenges that the industry is going through. You know, we want to ensure that that jobs created within the sector itself, that jobs are maintained. And we also want to ensure that industries and the companies themselves are able to produce that advanced value. Because that's what Nigeria, a lot of Nigerians take soft drinks, and the lower, in fact, I would say that the low-wage workers are the ones that consume this as more than. And if they decide that these duties and the cost of these products goes up, workers might be compelled to start drinks to by resort to consuming substandard and that's on
hygienic drinks. Chris Iyot is the Deputy General Secretary of the Nigeria Labour Congress, or NLC. He spoke with me from the capital, Abuja. In Malawi, organizers of recent nationwide demonstrations say they will resume their protests this week. They say they temporarily suspended the protests to enable people to participate in celebrating Christmas and New Year's, as well as give the government time to address their concerns. Born Kalindu, an influential comedian and leading organizing member of the demonstration, says the government has failed to address the demands of the protesters. Displeased with the direction of the country, the protesters demand that President Lazarus Chakwera keep his promises to those who voted for him in the recent general election. The promises, they say, including creating 1 million jobs and providing free water and electricity. But supporters of the government call on the protesters to negotiate with officials to address their concerns. They express worry that the demonstrations will worsen coronavirus infections in the southern African country. For more about the reasons for the resumption of the demonstrations, I reached Bon Kalindo in the Malawian capital, Lilongwe.
We gave people of Malawi a 10-day break to accord them an opportunity to visit their homes, go to church to pray for the country. At the same time, we wanted at least deliberately to give the government time to reflect and see if they can consider looking at the issues that we presented to them. But up to now, nothing has happened. And we are restarting with the demos on the 13th of January. After the Lindi Blanta demos, we'll proceed to Balaka, where we'll have what we call Chingentoget Plaza shut down. We'll have a vigil for some days because during the time that we met government officials on the same, they promised to look into the issues of the toll gate fees and probably reduce them. But up to now, a month has gone. Nothing is on the ground. Nothing is on the table, which means these are cabinet ministers. Four of them lied to Malawians. We feel cheated, hence the reason why we would want to have a vigil at this Target Plaza.
The economy has been battered by the coronavirus pandemic. Every country is suffering as a result of that. Why wouldn't you give the government some time?
I want to agree with you that, the economy has hit hard by the COVID, but you must remember at the same time, each and every house has got its own plans. We need not to rely on, our donors to come to Malawi and tell us what to do. We need to have our own recovery plan, hence need for government to look into the issues. What we are saying here is, we are not saying that government or, the economy has not been hit hard by the COVID. But at the same time, government should also consider its own people to say, we are in the corona period. Why can't we reduce some basic commodities like the issue of VAT? Why can't they reduce, or take out VAT on essential or commodities that are, important to the human being?
Are you willing to engage the government as they try to address your concerns for which you've launched these series of protests across the country?
Very, very willing, my brother. But, government sometimes has got, selfish people, selfish ministers who doesn't want to listen to the voice of a common man. But we are very, very willing. Even the last time that we met them, to us, we are like, this is an examination. For them, for the president to be re-elected in 2025, he must side with the common people, must side with the poor. But this time around, it's like they don't want to consider the poor. They just want to do things on their own without, considering a common man. So, yes, we want to engage them. We want to sit down with them because this is the only country we have, Malawi.
Will they continue until your concerns are resolved? What is the end game here?
We will continue with the demos up until government takes a hit. But at the same time, we are not the ones to engage ourselves. They are there to engage us. If they are to engage us tomorrow, and at least consider at least one or two issues, one or two concerns on the list, we are going to stop the demos, my brother. But this government is selfish, doesn't want to listen. I am telling them, look here, you cannot do everything at once. Let us start at least with two or three. But they gave us a deaf ear and a blind eye. And, so there's no way we can stop the demos. Minus them taking it. I am not like trying to say, do everything at once. Slowly we can agree. Look here. When we met, they promised Malawians. They even, announced it in different media platforms, the TVs, to say, we have agreed with Bon Kalindo, we are going to reduce the target fees in the next, 4 days to come. The 4 days, that was our meeting took place on the 2nd of December.
and they promised to say the new fees would be enjoyed from before 4th December. Look now, what is the date now? Today is the 7th. They have done nothing. So hence the reason why we want to go back and, you know, demonstrate. But it is not my idea. My idea is, you know, to sit down with government and, you know, discuss these issues amicably. We don't want to be like you're fighting. But we are only trying to tell them that a common man in my village, in Malawi, is suffering, but they don't want to listen.
Born Kalindo is an influential comedian and leading organizing member of the demonstrations. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe. A community health service in Africa's largest urban slum is helping poor people get affordable emergency services during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Kibera Community Emergency Response Team in Nairobi is offering a 1 million monthly fee for access to emergency services, including an ambulance. For VOA, Victoria Amunga has more from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Poor people like those living in Nairobi's Kibera slum find it difficult to access emergency healthcare, even where public services such as clinics and hospitals are provided within the slums. The high cost effectively bars most Kibera residents from calling an ambulance. It's a challenge Moses Omondi, who was himself born and brought up in Kibera slum, has undertaken. He formed a community emergency response team that provides services to slum residents for a fee of $1 a month, including ambulance transport to the hospitals.
If you have an ambulance, you can easily access an hospital, because no hospital should deny you services when you've been taken there by an ambulance. It means it's an emergency case that need an emergency attention.
Annette Okumu is one of about 300 subscribers to the ambulance service. She says she received potentially life-saving care inside an ambulance after an accident last year.
The condition I was in wasn't that good. I was really having a very bad headache. I was bleeding. So maybe I could have overbled if I couldn't have gotten the first aid services.
Non-profit groups and other benefactors support the service. So far, there is one ambulance for an estimated 250,000 residents in the slum. Officials hope to increase the number to 5. Ambulance services in Kenya ordinarily cost up to $400, depending on the needs of a patient, such as a ventilator and the distance involved. Officials say arrangements that provide public access to affordable emergency services are especially important during the COVID-19 era. Judith Okech is the head of the Ambulex Kenya service.
It's a service that people are acknowledging that they very much need. And you'll realize that people living within such settings, some of them have never called for an ambulance because they know that if they do call for an ambulance, it's never going to get there, or they'll be asked for, you know, a lot of money that they're not able to afford.
Residents say the community service emergency response team offers hope they will have better access to healthcare they need. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi. VOA.
Hello, this is James Barton, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments.
Cameroonian officials have joined hundreds of Muslims and Christians in the capital Yaoundé to pray for peace during the Africa Football Cup of Nations, or AFCON. Cameroon is hosting Africa's top football championship from Sunday, including in Western regions where Anglophone separatists have vowed to disrupt the games. Police say the rebels on Thursday set off a bomb in one of the towns where matches will be held, but nobody was injured. For VOA, Moki Edward Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Imam Suleiman Buba of Yaoundé's Tsinga Mosque prays in Arabic for peace in Cameroon. During the prayers Thursday, Buba asked God to protect football players, fans and match officials coming to Cameroon for the African Football Cup of Nations, which begins Sunday, January 9. Among the more than 60 Muslim and Christian clerics present was Jean Barga, Archbishop of Yaoundé. Mbarga says the prayer at the Mary Queen of the Apostles Basilica in Yaoundé asked God to intercede for a peaceful AFCON in Cameroon.
L'avènement de la CAN est aussi l'avènement des nouveaux Cameroun qui croient en la paix.
He knows Cameroonians love football very much and will be coming out to cheer their team, the Indomitable Lions, and other African teams they cherish. He says the African Football Cup of Nations should therefore mark a new beginning for a peaceful, strong, and united Cameroon. He says Muslims and Christians have jointly prayed for the safety of players, match officials, and football fans who will be in Cameroon for AFCON. Mbarga said he and the cleric who attended the prayer strongly believe that because Cameroonians love football, AFCON will remove the country from the agony it has been going through in several troubled spots. Mbarga said the Cameroon Association for Interreligious Dialogue organized the prayer. Cameroon Prime Minister Joseph John Goute represented President Paul Biya at the prayer. The Cameroon Association for Interreligious Dialogue said at least 400 civilians, 20 ministers and senior state functionaries attended the prayer. Cameroon is hosting the continent's top football tournament from Sunday to February 6. Separatists fighting to create an independent English-speaking state in the French-speaking majority country have vowed to disrupt the games. On social media platforms like Facebook and WhatsApp, the separatists say they are in ongoing battles with Cameroon government troops. They add that Limbe and Boya are not safe zones. Limbe and Boya are English-speaking western towns that will host group matches for teams from Gambia, Mali, Mauritania, and Tunisia. Separatist fighters said Thursday they set off a roadside bomb in Half Mile, a neighborhood in the town of Limbe. Capo Daniel is deputy defense chief of the Ambazonia Defense Forces, a rebel group in Cameroon's English-speaking northwest and southwest regions. Capo says fighters have vowed to disrupt the games in Limbe despite the heavy presence of Cameroon troops.
The Cameroon government have drawn our forces into those venues because they have stationed their military in those areas, so we shall combat them. On the 30th of December, we planted an IED at Half Mile. Today again, we planted another IED to send a message to all the visitors that are coming to watch football to understand that they are putting themselves in harm's way.
Cameroon military confirmed Thursday's explosion in Limbe, but called it an isolated attempt to scare football fans, players, and officials. The government said no one was injured, but called on civilians to collaborate with the military by reporting suspected fighters in their communities. Biya last week called on civilians to use AFCON as an opportunity to turn a new page in a country that has suffered so many crises. The Central African State started a military campaign against Boko Haram terrorism on its northern border with Nigeria in 2013. In 2013, Cameroon said the political turmoil in neighboring Central African Republic was having a spillover on its eastern border with rebel incursions. The Cameroon military has been deployed to the eastern border with CAR since 2013. The military is also deployed to stop rebels fighting to create an independent state in the Central African State's English-speaking western regions. The United Nations reports that more than 3,300 people have died in the conflict since 2017. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, sports with Douglas Impuga, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from our African collection. But first, it's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Douglas Impuga. Hello, Douglas.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. Video assistant referees, VAR, will be used at all 52 matches at the Africa Cup of Nations for the first time. The 2019 edition in Egypt only saw the technology introduced from the quarterfinals by the organizers of the Confederation of African Football. A statement from CAF says, CAF has selected 24 referees, 31 assistant referees, and 8 video assistant referees from 36 countries for the tournament in Cameroon, with Rwanda referee Salima Mukansanga among 4 female officials. 2 officials from North and Central American and Caribbean Football Confederation, CONCACAF, will also be included as part of an inter-confederation skills exchange program. Meanwhile, the winners of the Nations Cup will now receive prize money of $5 million US dollars, an increase of $500,000 from 2019. The runners-up will get $2.75 million, while quarterfinalists will receive $2.2 million and $1,175,000, respectively. The Nations Cup just kicked off on Sunday, with host Cameroon taking on Burkina Faso. And countries suffering COVID-19 outbreaks will have to play the Africa Cup of Nations matches even if they have only 11 players available. New guidelines from the Confederation of African Football state matches will still go ahead even if none of the 11 players is a goalkeeper. Any nation unable to fulfill a fixture will forfeit the game 2-0. The guidance has been issued after several nations reported COVID cases before the tournament started on Sunday. Meanwhile, Liverpool forward Mohamed Salah and Chelsea striker Sam Kerr are among the best FIFA Football Awards Players of the Year nominees. Salah is on the men's shortlist, with PSG's Lionel Messi and Bayern Munich's Robert Lewandowski. Kerr has been nominated with the Barcelona pair Jennifer Hermoso and Alexia Tellers in the women's category. The winner will be announced in Zurich on January 17th. Egypt's international Salah is currently the Premier League's top scorer with 16 goals, while Australia's forward Kerr helped Chelsea retain the Women's Super League title in 2021 and reach the Champions League final. The awards are voted for by international managers, captains of international teams, journalists, and fans. In athletics, Namibia's Christine Mboma has been voted the BBC Africa Sports Personality of the Year for 2021, becoming the first female winner in the awards history. The 18-year-old became the first Namibian woman to ever win an Olympic medal when taking silver in a star-studded 200 meters final in Tokyo last year. Mboma beat off Kenyan runners Eliud Kipchoge and Faith Kipyegon, among others, to win the award. She became the second Namibian athlete to be recognized in such a fashion after sprinter Frankie Fredericks won the BBC African Sports Star of the Year award in 1993. And that's it for this edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Douglas. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's Roman's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. it is appropriate to review the past as an indication of what we should look forward to in the future. Africa, by the rest of the international community, have been devastated by the pandemic, which we had hoped would have abated this year, but instead has been aggravated. Africa, too, has suffered from the devastating impact of the economic, social, and other developments that have set back the world community. In other areas, Africa, regrettably, has fallen into the bad habit of the 1960s and 70s of many coup d'etats. Of course, we cannot forget that we have been able to achieve peaceful transfer of power in countries like Zambia and Malawi. But we are also hoping to see more possibilities of the peaceful transfer of power next year. The most serious developments in the security and political field for the African people is the war in Ethiopia. Let me remind Africans that Ethiopia as an entity has a symbolic meaning for the continent. Who should forget the role of Emperor Haile Selassie, who challenged Italian aggression and had to remind the winning conference in Geneva that peace was undividable, a sad remembrance in terms of the devastation of the Second World War. So that war, or the war still going on, should not be allowed to end in the disintegration of Ethiopia. For next year, we must hope that the reporting of the war is balanced and that hopes for peace are negotiated without settling scores, and that the people's interests should be fundamental. So we look forward to what has just been announced by the government and Ethiopia, that it has no interest to enter territory of the TPLF, even though that territory is part of its territorial entity. Sudan remains a disappointment. The hopes of the past have been dashed, and recent days have shown that next year might be as troublesome unless the international community becomes more aware that transition governments are not intended to settle scores or to take advantages for this or that outside power. Transition governments have only one major function: to prepare a leveling playing field for free and fair elections, so that the people who have been given the power to change course can decide for themselves what they want for their country. The war also in Mali seems to be deteriorating, but we have had occasion during this year to deal with that serious problem. Let me conclude by looking at the problem of the pandemic. People have complained, Africans have complained, of the inequity of the distribution of the vaccine. Yes, that's true. But Africans must come to the realization that over-dependence is not in their interest. One should prepare in the continent, the talents are there, but to cooperate with the wider international community, but that Africans themselves should put their shoulder to the wheel and see what they could do. South Africa has shown how it can contribute to the resolution of this problem. So next year, 2022, will be a challenge for Africa to try as best as they could to put the house in order and to seek to cooperate with the wider international community, but not to become too dependent on others. Because if they do, the questions and the problems we are facing with the pandemic will continue. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Tutachovuna kesho imenikoma na umekula kwa jasho najiuliza vinani kaiona kesho chapa mwendo na ukilala hauna chako. Hivi huru wa kuongea kwenye nchi bado upo? Sija kuongea vitu kesho nkajikuta seko. Kuna viongozi wa vuta bange wapo, mana wana maamuzi ya kiseko wapo, walio mmisija kaya wapo, na walio choka kusoma namba wapo, kuna wasanii mateja wapo, na walio poteza marinda wapo. Kuna radio na TV, naona vimesha poteza CV. Hakuna uhuru bari wala taarifa ya bari, wanapidisha pidisha kuyogopa serikali. Siamini nchi inaendeshwa kwa kiki, siasa inafunika muziki, viongozi wanashindana kukiki, wanagombea front page wauze kwenye gazeti. Nasikia kuna viongozi wamefoji vyeti wapo, kuna mademu wanasagana wapo, eti kuna vidume vinalelewa wapo, sijasikia mnasema wapo. Kuna mastaa wanajiuza wapo, wapenda bari za udaku kuliko kazi wapo, eti kuna wasanii wanarogana wapo, sijasikia mnasema. Kiongozi mwenye busara anapokea ushauri, anapokea mawazo wa kimbere kiburi. Ayo samani mheshimiwa, hivi unamjua Bashite? Hili ni jipu jipya toka Koromije, imeshaiba na usaa limeshatunga, na kukabidhi sindano ya kulidunga. Daktari haogopi kubwa kidonda, wesi dokta wa majipu, tumbu hakuna kufunga. Kuvamia ofisi za watu hekume nayo ni kazi, hakuna noma wanangu tupige kazi. Boda boda kazi, bajaji kazi, eti kipi kukaba nayo ni kazi. Nasikia kuna viongozi wamefoji vyeti wapo, kuna mademu wanasagana wapo, eti kuna vidume vinalelewa wapo, sijasikia mnasema wapo. Efani wao piga manati yopo, sita ya masai na mangati fire. Esarangona na super chef, kumzi mekata na shika shat. Samini nchina ndesho kwa kiki, siasa inafunika muziki, viongozi wanashinda na kukiki, wanagombea front page wauze kwenye gazeti. Kuna viongozi wavuta bange wapo, mana wana maamuzi ya kiseko wapo, walio mmisija kaya wapo, na walio choka kusoma namba wapo. Nasikia kuna viongozi wamefoji vyeti wapo, kuna mademu wanasagana wapo, eti kuna vidume vinalelewa wapo, sijasikia mnasema wapo.
We mtu gani sasa? Utaki kushauliwa, utaki kukosolewa, umelogwa we, unajiona ndugu yake na Yesu we. Oya wanangu we, raundi hii mtanyoka akia Mungu, naona kichaka pewa lungu. Are you awesome?
Hefani wao piga manati, masai na mangati, esa rangono na super shot, kumzi mekata na shika shot.
Chiopo
fire,
utakula jeuri yako.
Free nation,
mindi yule afkasi wa kinya kiusa na kichaga. Oya moshi stand up, bear city what up. The two boys in a building.
Yeah, they call me bad.
I woke up with a fear this morning, but I can taste you on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Alone without no warning, you're by my side and we've got smoke in our lungs. Last night we were way up, kissing in the back of the cab, and then you say, love, baby, let's go back to my flat.
gas in my brain. Ooh. Baby, you take over me, bro. You make me dance in calypso for you, my love. I will do anything. Baby, you know me, mama. I know go make you go so far. Baby, you know I love you like seriously. So baby, don't stop loving me. Oh na 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 na.
You wake up cool, my day. Oh, I'm in a big mood. God, I feel you. Something wake up cool in my body. Tell me will do. I'm in a big mood. God, I feel you. Something wake up cool in my body. Tell me will do. Make we go December. For some liquor, they do me jet jet. Get something sweet to put on my head, that's why. Now you the cool my stress, so yeah. Make we go December. For some liquor, they do me jet jet. Get something sweet to put on my head, that's why. Now you the cool my stress, so yeah.
I'm in a big mood. Girl, I feel you. I know say I love cause passing money, but I still want you. I'm in a big mood. Girl, I want you. Now only you. Tell me to leave my baby. Bend every night if it turn to baby. Me and you, when you wake up, girl, you splashing on me. Yeah, Lula sweat all on me. Like the design, you be dripping on me. Maybe that's why I don't feel it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in a big mood. Call I feel you. Something wake up cool in my body. Tell me will do. I'm in a big mood. Call I feel you. Something sweet to put on my head, that's why. Now you just cool my stress, so yeah. Make we go December. But some liquor, they do me check, yeah. Get something sweet to put on my head, that's why. Now you just cool my stress, so yeah.
Baby, baby, yeah, you know. When the money done the show, send a star boy. Big whiz, big daddy, enter the show. We know they mind best, you know, man. We just come, yeah, mind our own. I'm a walk, but I'm a bum alone. I'm a like 20 standard, yo. We know they mind person. We not gonna keep.
Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, managing editor William Eagle, reporter Douglas Impuga, and producer McBeal Yabaro, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, a fly that has no one to advise it follows the corpse into the grave. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
God, I feel you. Something wake up cool in my body. Tell me will do. Make we go December. But some liquor, they do me check, check. Get something sweet to put down my head, that's why. Now you the